may be seated. All right, let's move right along in our discourse. Take your documents out. Hopefully you came with it. While we are espousing and going through, you got the document, don't leave home without it. There are a few in the back, but hopefully you brought yours. Everyone repeat after me. Scripture distinctions.
Scriptural distinctions.
Actualization in eternity.
Actualization in eternity.
From manifestation in time.
From manifestation in time.
Now we had moved into part two, and I'm trying real hard. I have part three here, but I'm going to hold it for a few weeks before I give it to you. Trying to get out of part two. Let's go to page 43. I'm sorry, 48. Also, open your Bibles. Somehow, some way, I'm going to have to try to condense there's so much here that we need to know, we need to grasp. There's a world out there that's geared to depress you. To make you think that things are, as far as you're concerned, in the same category as what the world views. But there is a distinct difference between heavenly viewing, or heavenly's viewing, I should say, and earthly viewing. Is the difference between happiness and sadness. It's the difference between joy and being forlorn. It's the difference between fear and security. You see, on the one hand, the former of the litness I have expressed are in the heavens in Christ Jesus. And on the other hand, the counterpart is all around us in what we see. Look at the news, and everything you see there is what? It's bad. In fact, it doesn't make the news unless it's bad. We have breaking news. We have breaking news. And every time you hear that, you know it's something bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is the terrain of time. The expressions in the time capsule. But this is not what is really happening. We have an advantage this morning. God help us, lead us, and guide us into the sphere of joy, peace, tranquility, rather than doubt and fear. God help us not to walk like and think like the world. Now, open your Bibles, and I got two places. So probably won't get to both of them this morning. Oh, my God. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Elder Liberman is our designated reader this morning. Elder Oh, my God. Y'all sure you won't give me about 3 hours to do this? I love those looks. All right, I get the message. So that we'll be in context. The latter part of verse 2 belongs with the majority part of verse 3. Did I say that right? The latter part of verse 2 belongs with the lion's share of verse 3. Tell you what, let's go back to verse 1. Everybody got Hebrews 1 and 1, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Elder Reed.
God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets.
Mm-hmm. How's he speaking to us today?
Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world.
Mm-hmm. Verse 3.
Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
All right, now let's go to the Greek. And here, again, we get the Greek interlineum because at least the English words of the translation is outlaid under the Greek scripting. And so whenever he does anything that is not according to what the scripting say, he at least has to make some footnote. And that's why we go to the interlineum. All right? If you don't have the Greek interlineum, at least follow along in your text. Whatever translation you have before you. Elder, what I want you to do here is to verse 2. Start there with whom he appointed. Speaking of Jesus. That is a son, right?
Hebrews chapter 2.
Verse 2. Right in the middle of it. Whom?
Whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom indeed he made the ages.
Okay, who made the ages? God made the ages. Jesus made the ages. Amen. We have no problem going back and forth here. The only way you have problems is if you try to divide the Godhead. Amen. Here, basically, as we have gone through this again, the times and the ages are the time and the ages. Time is a what? It's creation. God created time. Time is not an entity in itself. He created time for a purpose. God is not locked into time. God is not captive in time. In other words, like, you know, today, we're locked in today. Can you jump in tomorrow?
No.
Can you go back into yesterday?
No.
It's no problem with God.
None.
Has no bearing on him, as we shall see here in a minute. Let's go to verse 3.
Verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
Who being...
Stop. Who? God. Being. Now remember we just said time is what? It's creation. Has nothing to do, and though we are regulated by it, God is not. Oh my God. Here we have what we call a verb, a participle. What is a participle? It's a verb or adjective. It's a verb or adjective. A participle. What is an adjective? It's a crime. It describes something that's in place, right? Now, even before we get into time, we can say who a God what? Being.
Right, right.
Hold that for a minute and keep going.
Who being radiance of the glory and representation of the reality of him.
All right.
And here and bearing all things
mm-hmm.
by the word of the power of him,
mm.
cleansing of sins,
mm.
having made set on mm. right of the greatness in high places.
It's just oh my God. Yeah, I didn't think so. No. That places, throw that out. Highs. Throw that out. He cheated on us there. He didn't put a footnote or anything. He just snuck places in there. God is spirit, right? All right. Now, as we look at this morning, we're going to try to direct our hearts and our minds above the sphere of those things that are around us.
Right.
Now, every time we do that, someone says, "Well, Pastor, isn't aren't the things around us important?" Yes, they're important, but they're not the most important. I want you to hear me this morning. Now we have things that are going on that are very important. But there's a difference between very important and the most important. You're going to leave here. Everybody in here, if the Lord tarries, I'm going to put it way out there so nobody get nervous. Another 100 years. Let's say another 150 years. Everybody here is going to die. We will be moved out of the time capsule. And that's all physical death means. It doesn't mean being destroyed. You notice as he finishes this verse here, oh my God, he speaks of having made a cleansing of our sins. When did he do that? In eternity. In our class this morning in the the duck class, we were looking at, what was that, Romans chapter 6, verse 20, wasn't it? And as Paul conveys it, in one decree, we are condemned. In the same decree, we're justified.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
In the same decree, we were slaves of sin.
Yes, sir.
In the same decree, we were slaves to righteousness, not from to righteousness.
Yes.
Yes. Lost and saved in the same decree. So now saved means something. It means security. It means safe.
Yes.
Of all the things that are around us, of all the things that are coming against us, of all the encounters of life,
thank God,
we're safe. We're safe. We're secure. We can truly sing the song. Safe and secure from all along. We are safe. Though the world of the earth, of the globe as we know it, shall melt with fervent heat according to the corroboration prophecy of Peter, we're safe. Our security abides beyond the things that are around us. Oh, it is so hard. We pray that God's people will come to see things above what you are physically connected with. All physicality shall fail. It shall falter. It shall dissipate and disappear. You know, at times we get all bent out of shape, and that me too. After I go through things, and where God comes and shake me up, say, hey, what the call it? What's the deal here? Because we get into the time loops, and this is why we shall deal with this in the conference. We get so caught up with what's going on in time loops, in the time capsule, until we lose all sight of the greater picture.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
We are writing the paper, we shall present it in the conference. That's called Insufficiencies in the Temporal Loops of Time.
Right.
I'm going to just read an excerpt out of the excerpt to you this morning. You know, it was in the pastor's pen. You can take your pastor's pen out and follow me if you wish. Time loops. Everybody said time loops.
Time loops.
Time loops tasks require acquisitions and expenditures of resources abiding beyond impossibilities that are imposed by their successions and temporariness. The fact that everything in the time capsule is temporary imposes impossibilities on some things. And so we're wondering why this can't happen, why this can't be right there. It's not designed for time. Ultimate bliss is designed for eternity, not for time. Because their array of fulfillment necessitates their purposeful accounting as such a deemed and the expressions of what constitute their eternal intentions. What are you saying there, Pastor? In order for things to be right and to always be like you want it, you got to get out of here. As long as you're in time, you are kept it to testimony of something that points back to eternity. Because in eternity is where we have eternal intentions. Everybody say eternal intentions.
Eternal intentions.
That thing doesn't make sense in time. It can't. Because the intent of it is not in time, it's in eternity. So this means of intentionality automatically eliminates every order. Follow me here. In any design of physicality to exist forever and further magnifies humanity's pathetic arrogance as it endeavors to seize, take control. What has been eternally arranged by God. You know why that thing doesn't last? It's not designed to last.
Yeah.
If you're happy today, it has a duration. If you have accomplished something today, it has a duration. The only place you're going to get forever and forever is in eternality. So why can't things be good all the time? They're not designed to be. Not in the time capsule.
Yeah.
We have to get our expectations correctly
right.
formulated
right.
in our minds.
Right.
In the time capsule, you will get some experience of limited joy. It is limited because it's only going to go so far
mm-hmm.
in the duration.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trouble comes because trouble is part of the terrain of time. Chaos and confusion. But thank God it's all temporary. So it's extreme folly for humankind to even deliberate sufficient faith in its own intelligence and ability. You can't figure this thing out. So, this doesn't make sense. Yes, it does. Doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. It simply means it doesn't make sense to you. And me. And all of humankind. The answer's up. Because the intentions do not reside in time. Now, for some to think that things that we hear and I look to on the TV at the church services and they're putting all of these panaceas and prescriptions for happiness out in five ways and so forth. People sitting there taking notes and said, not going to happen. As long as you are in the time capsule, you're going to face the turbulence of time. Even in the Old Testament, Corroboracy. Man's born of a woman, what? And what?
Full of trouble.
Listen, you got a lot of troubles cramped into
a little
time. But we aren't listening.
Mm.
Now listen. Paul got that thing right. Huh? Didn't he? Huh? So where you reading will actually educate you. You know, in the 17th verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when he talks about these, what? Why the light? Because it's a quake. That's the best part of time. It's quake.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't last always. And even though while we're going through it, the moments seem like minutes. And the minutes seem like hours. And the hours seem like days. That's just the way it seems. I tell you, it is quick. Momentary. That Greek word that Paul uses there is the Greek word, take a derivative, is derived from where we get the word atom from. Small. Something that's small. It's quick. If we don't understand this, it's going to beat us up. It's going to always beat us up. For some to even think that the things around us that they talk about of achieving and holding on to, you know how to get your health and keep it. Here you got the cells of your body that are dying as we sit here. Oh, millions are being produced, or thousands. But many multitudes of them are also dying. What did they say? When you're young, you've got more coming in than going out. Then you reach mid-age, it's probably what's going in is coming out. Then when you get on the downside, like I am, you know, you're losing more than you're gaining. And what happens at some point? Huh? It's checkout time. I said, Pastor, it's not a good message. Yes, it is. It's a good message. If you will reflect and put and set your affections on things above and not on things on earth.
Right.
I mean, it's there. Colossians chapter 3. We are listening. We want to talk about how many herds Abraham had. And the songs we sing. The blessings of Abraham has nothing to do with you. And even Abraham and that covenant, there has to be a renovation of the earth, but he has given us more. Can you say more? Can you say more? Give God a hand praise. He's given us more. Oh, hallelujah. So we should be encouraged instead of discouraged. Regardless of what's going on in your world this morning, you should be motivated by the Word of God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, amen. Thank you. Amen.
See, we're looking at ourselves. It calls for us to make things possible according to our efforts. It obviously requires what is exclusively and inherently competent in enablement. You can't bring one thing to pass. We've got to do it. That's not what the Word of God is teaching us. It's telling us that we can't do nothing, and we're following some philosophies that says we can do everything. Scripture-wise, the single most regulatory source of authority for such authentications. It imbues the origination of excellent and attainable ideas which are solely purpose and design rationale, not a rationale. Now let's go back to this for a minute. I'm doing a little exegeting, and I might go crazy on me here. You know, don't you want to know what's in here? Don't you know what it's really saying to you? Rather than what they say, what they say is saying. In the third verse, now we've gone through one verb, which is a participle, and it speaks of being, of that being that is self-sourced and self-capacitated. You know, one of these days we're going to realize that this thing, life, is all about God, not about us. Out of Him, we're nothing. In Him, we're everything. But not in ourselves. It's about Him. No, it's all about Him. That's why no matter who stands up behind this rostrum in this pulpit, what's the subject?
Jesus.
And when we get to talk about Jesus, what? It's time to go home. There are a lot of things happening this morning I could stand up and talk to you about. Out here, you know, the health care, we talk about Afghanistan, we talk about all of this thing. What has that got to do with your eternal relationship with God? Nothing. I'm not saying don't read the news and don't keep up with the current events, but the key here is priority. Now, no matter what's going on out there, we're coming here, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about our eternal relationship with Him. It's all about Him. His being. Own. That participle is in the present tense, the active voice. It's in the nominative case, which means what? It's the subject. It's the subject. Some people will go in here and they will read something and they'll come out talking something political, something social. If you took this verse, what we call tetranatural, and actually exegete the whole essence of it, is talking about Him and our relationship to Him and what He has done for us, and none of it in the time capsule. But that's not the message we're getting. We're looking around at things. We're dependent upon things. Our hope, our aim, our aspiration are in things. It's not about things. It's about Him. Our hope is an eternal hope. Out of the scope of time. No matter what goes on and what you experience and what manifests in your life, God hasn't done you wrong.
Hallelujah.
He hasn't done you wrong because this is not where the happenings are. If for the purpose of eternal intentions you get sick, God hasn't done you wrong. That's okay as long as He heals me. No. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he went to the Lord three times. Three times. For healing.
Mm-hmm.
He petitioned him three times.
Yeah.
And the Lord told Paul, Paul, leave that thing alone. Well, I do not. He didn't answer prayer. Lord always answers prayer.
Amen.
You just don't like his answer.
Mm-hmm.
He told Paul, by you being sick, you're going to do more for me being sick than you ever could being well.
Amen.
Pastor, you're talking crazy. No, I'm not. We got all of these earthly expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is that tied to? Being. What is this being? Follow here. We have five. We'll get to them. We have five nouns. What is a noun? Name of what? Person, place, thing. Okay. We have five nouns in this, predominant nouns in this verse.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, basically, is translated brightness. Brightness. Radiance. Reflected brightness. Effulgence. Yes. Means to shine. You know what that is? That's the testimony of his being. God doesn't have to shine to be who he is. He shines in order to testify to us who he is. He is who he is. If no one ever sees him. He doesn't need our certification. Follow this. Oh my God. We have the Greek word apajasma, brightness. We've just gone through that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is apajasma, that's apajasma, tis thosis.
Yeah.
What is thosis? Glory. Brightness of glory, but it doesn't stop there. Brightness, glory, remember now, it starts off with who? Which goes back to the second verse, speaking about God, the appointed heir of all things, that is Christ. The one who made the times, who is not regulated by the times, who is not regulated by what's going on in time, the being who doesn't depend upon how can he when he made it. He created it. He is more than the times. Look what Paul is saying here. Who being the radiance of the glory. Okay, and. Said don't stop there. And. What? Here we have the Greek word karatia. Now what he has translated it here, representation. That word means exactness. You know, when you just represent something, you can represent something and not really be it, can you?
Right.
That represent, I don't know where we get their representation from. Here's the exactness. Here's the full expression. Oh my God. If you could just see him. The Spirit of God transmits the information to your spirit and my spirit so we can just see him. Our problem is we're looking at other things rather than looking at him. That's a problem. That's a problem. So what is he the exact likeness of full expression of? Of him. Of who? Of God. I thought you was talking about Christ. I'm talking about Christ. I'm talking about God.
Hallelujah.
Your problem is you want to try to bust the break and scatter the Godhead. Even in corroboration, what did Jesus tell Thomas? You see me what? You see me, you see the Father. Somebody still don't have that lesson. You see, the earthly manifestations of those things that can help us, we don't look at that. I don't care about all of that. I need my bills paid. Well, I hope you get your bills paid. But you know what? Paying your bills doesn't solve your problems. Oh, yeah, try me. Yeah. And why the folk that got all of this money so unhappy? Why are the rich and famous so unhappy? Why are they so dissatisfied? Why are they having problems? If money is to solve our problems. And things are to solve problems. They got bored and they know what to do with them. That's why they ask. Why they do this and that and so forth? Why would he do that? Go out and throw all that up. Because he's got the same problem we got. He's depraved. God didn't stop you. You do the same thing or some worse.
Amen.
Oh, not me. Don't you ever give yourself
credit.
That's why I don't ever get in line to kick anyone.
Come on, man. Come on. That's right.
Lord, help me to get in line when they're passing out mercy. And grace.
Yes.
Help me to get out of line when they pass it out judgment.
Thank you.
You know, some of us don't like mercy. We have no use of mercy until we need it.
We need.
You know, oh Lord, come on, everybody come understand me. Please, quick. Other fella needs it. But our focus should be on him. Now, he says, the next word here that I want to look at is a verb. Why are we coming to all this? There's some out there waiting on you. Kick you in the teeth, to mess your day up, to mess your mind up for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that will come and it won't go anywhere.
Come on, God. Come on. Hallelujah.
And if the only way you think you can be happy if it leaves, then you're not going to be a happy camper. But you can be happy in spite of it,
no matter
what it is.
Thank you.
Because your happiness doesn't rely upon anything except him. We have another participle here. What is the participle again? The verb or what? Adjective. Adjective is what? It's describing something. So we get the verb, it's the action word. So here we have an action word that's describing something. It's the Greek participle pheron. It's also in the present tense, active voice. Nominative case. What's the nominative case again?
Subject.
The subject. In other words, it's what should be focused on and is driving his thought here.
Right.
And you notice Paul is not dealing with anything on this earth.
Uh-huh.
Well, someone said, well, I'm going to find something here that I can resonate with what's going on. So I'm going to turn over here and I'm going to catch the children of Israel going through the Red Sea being delivered, because what I need today is deliverance. If you get this, you'll know you're already delivered.
Oh, I hear you. Thank God. Come on now.
And that you were delivered from eternity.
I hear you.
And just like he's not a captive of time, knowing this, we're free of you so that you won't be a captive of the events that comes to the time. Because when it rains on the what?
Just.
As well as the unjust. The fire comes, the tsunami comes.
Mm-hmm.
Both the lake and non-lake perish.
Yes. Man,
the storm comes.
Oh.
It takes the non-lake home, but it takes the lakes home also, doesn't it? Huh?
Yeah.
The planes flew into the towers.
Oh, yeah.
New York.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did the non-elect die physically,
mm-hmm.
but the elect died physically.
Oh, yeah.
There was a pastor in that building that morning
right.
who was visiting.
Yeah.
Had never been in there before.
Yeah.
Ooh, you know, then somebody comes on with some crazy thinking unscriptural, saying, you know, the Lord told all of his people to don't get out of that building, but they didn't listen to him. Where you get that from? Somebody goes on the campus of Virginia Tech and kills 30-some people. And the kids, the students there, they had questions. And some of our top theologians went on campus, but they didn't have any answers. God didn't have nothing to do with that. What makes you more secure? That God had a purpose for that? Or that God didn't have anything to do with that? So now you got things going on that God, that's scary. God didn't have anything to do with it. That's why we're focused on him. And that's why they don't fool around in Paul's epistles.
Because
like we're on this verse 3, you got to exegete it. You don't have an idea what Paul is talking about. I'm going to go back to the Sermon on the Mount. No, no, you don't want to go back there. Jesus said some things that you don't want to be part of. Oh, no. No, you don't. Jesus said some things that everybody sitting here, you know that you don't want no part of that.
Yeah.
Somebody come and whack you upside the left side of your head, and you turn to the right and invite them to continue.
you
stand your gospel. Jesus didn't mean it. Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did.
But he said for what? For the future. In the millennial age. He wasn't talking to you.
No.
Stay in your gospel. Let me finish this up. Oh, God. Bearing. Actually, when you trace the etymology of that word, it means bringing. So if it shows up, he has to bring it. So he's bringing and bearing what? All things. How? By the saying of his inner saying, decree. That thing happened. They didn't have the right answer for those kids. God decreed it. Planes flew to the buildings. God decreed it. If not, where did it come from? Now, I didn't want to get upset with the process theology folk that says, you know, some things are happening out there and God's trying to get a handle on them, and he eventually will. And they took that scripture that says that he shall put all things on his feet to say, which say where everything is not. He doesn't have everything tied down yet, but oh, he's getting there. And that's crazy. And more important than that is unscriptural. A fly can't wig its left wing unless God's able. Where does the energy come from? Now, I want you to turn page 48 of the document. Give me about 6 minutes. I have to improvise because you only give me an hour, and after that, you know, you all just go south on me. Shut down on me. I told the ministers, I said, listen, after 1 hour, you might as well pack it in. Because the majority, they have shut down on you. Let's go to page 48. I guess I got 6 minutes now. Everybody got that? Second paragraph? Page 48, you got that? The document, the scripture distinctions of what? Actualization attorney. From what? So we draw in a line of demarcation and distinguishing according to the scriptures what's actualized. What's actualized is according to God saying it, not it materializing or showing up. So we draw the distinction between that and manifestation in the time capsule. To do that, we must put time in its appropriate place. To understand, first of all, that God created time. And if he created time, he has to create all events in time. Nothing goes down unless God has ordered it. Your problem is you don't understand, and we don't understand. That's our problem. Eternal intent. It's all about purpose. Everybody said purpose.
Purpose.
That's what that fifth dimension is. It's purpose. It's just as real as length, width, height, and time. Number five, purpose. And that's what drives everything. Where did it come from? Purpose. Where does it end? Eternal intent. Follow this. I just maybe get through this one paragraph here. According to some traditional views of God's timelessness, his eternity, the creator, and from eternity, he will creation of the world in time, that is, he eternally willed it to have a beginning and to exist in a succession of events. But you know what the problem is? Here creation is confused with manifestation. And we think a thing is happening while we're seeing it. Look out the window. See the light? Where'd it come from? The sun. How far is the sun from here? 93 million. Is it 93 million miles? How fast does light traveled. 100 and what? 186,000 miles per second. Now you divide that to that and look out the window again. What you just saw left the sun 8.5 minutes ago. That thing shows up, and you're going crazy. And you know what? That thing actually happened in the decree in eternity. And whatever it is, which we don't have the comprehension most of the time of what it is and how it's going to go, whatever that is, it has already happened. In eternity. You are walking the floor all night long, worrying about something that you can't do a thing about. Well, I can pray, but then pray. But after you pray, go to sleep. But make sure you pray the right prayer, though. We don't close the prayer without saying what? That is if you really trust Him. Faith is not trusting God to do what you want.
No.
Faith is trusting in whatever God has said, whatever He has decreed.
No.
Why? Because you have looked at this and you understand that your welfare abides in Him, not in the things, not in houses. Let me finish this up. So creation is confused with manifestation in that God's will cannot change. Not because He has no freedom to do so, but because all possible things exist fully in His what?
Eternal
divine decree right now. Thus, there is no subsequent moment for His will to change in time. I was telling you last week, I went in the hospital, prayed for a person getting ready to have brain surgery. There were quite a few little people in there. I said, now listen, right? I said, I was asked to come pray.
Right.
And it's not going to be a long prayer. And we're not here to try to dictate to God or persuade God or influence God as to what He should do. Mm-hmm. Whatever this situation is, it's already done. Now, the only question here, as we petition, do we have the confidence and the knowledge enough to understand that His will is done and that our function here is to align with whatever He has said? Because that's what it is. Follow this. There is no subsequent moment for His will to change in time because what He wills, He wills. As it's true that He wills changelessness as He will. However, His will is not a violation of His freedom, though it firmly refutes at the same moment the fallacy that His will is a violation of human freedom. What in the world is that? What is free will other than to be depraved? Subsequently, when it is construed that humans, listen, when it is construed that humans can actually change their minds, we do it all the time, it is because their present limited concept of existence is solely viewed in the changeableness of manifestations in the time capsule. For God, that's not possible. As I close, it's not possible in that He is not confined to in this sphere. He's not confined in. How could He be when He created it? In this sphere, freedom to originate or enact actualization is diminished to the degree of what? Impossibility. Nothing is showing up in time. Now when you go back in the Old Testament, you read there's nothing new under the sun. Now we know what's happening. Now we know what it means. Instead of somebody has done that before, that's not what that means. God's freedom to will as he chose in the eternal sphere is not an obligation to create. There's no creation in the time capsule. Otherwise, you would have creation within creation.
Right, right.
And listen to this. He does not need to do that which he has completed. You saw all these arrow attempts that it's done. Everybody says already done. I love she has my permission to use this. I love the testimony of Mother Johnson, formerly Mother Goodlow. End up in the hospital. Cool. I mean, cool. Getting ready to have massive surgery. But you know what? And I learned something that day. She said, "Pastor, didn't you teach us that it was already done?" I said, "Yes, Mother." "And why should I be sitting up here worried about something that's already done?"
I hear you.
Oh, no. Why do you sit up there worried about something that's already done? I'm talking to you now.
Mm-hmm.
And to me. Mm-hmm. Why do we sit around worried about things that are already done?
Mm-hmm.
Thing is, do we have confidence in God's intent and God's purpose? Last sentence. It simply means that God has created all that there is to create.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't need to do that which he has unchangeably
right.
chose not to do.
Mm-hmm.
Thing is, do you know who he is? And knowing who he is, do you trust him this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Is your life dependent upon circumstances?
Mm-hmm. Or
is your life dependent upon the God of circumstances?
All right,
We sing the song, "He's All I Need." He's all I need. We don't really mean that. So God, I need you, but I need this circumstance to take care of also. No, you don't. If that thing sits there for decades, the fact that it sits there for decades and you are not destroyed, that testifies to you that you didn't need it.
Oh, I hear you.
Huh? Yes, it does. I don't know how I get to this. How many times have we said that?
Right.
Aren't you sitting here?
No.
Didn't you? Well, somebody said, "Well, you know, barely." No. No. Well, we'll be in the mindset of just surviving, but we're going to triumph victoriously.
Amen.
Pastor Paul said, "Well, I'm persuaded."
Oh.
That there's nothing
that
can separate me from the love of God.
I hear you.
That was the bottom line. And then he named a litany of things. And as he got through them and he ran out of things, in case he had forgotten something, he said, "No, any other in creation can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus." It's all about him. Everybody say, "He's all I need." Say it again. Give the Lord a hand praise.